Okay, welcome everyone to the Saturday morning call, or Saturday evening, depending on where you are in the world, to share the experience of the launch of the Mastery Foundation School for Leadership and the 5-day residential program, The Foundations of Transformational Leadership, which was just conducted 2 weeks ago in Northern Ireland. So welcome everybody. I know there are about 20 people on the call. About two-thirds of you were at the Foundations program, and we'll get a chance to share your experiences. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Anne Overton, Executive Director of the Mastery Foundation, to share a little bit about what it took to arrive at that opening of the school.
Okay, well, this has been maybe a 3-year journey, depending on where you start counting. I suppose you could say it was a 25-year journey. But for the last 3 years, we've actively been working to create this school because we wanted a structure that would house be a home for what the Mastery Foundation has accomplished and also be a place where what we've accomplished can live and multiply and be available to future generations. So we thought the best way to do that was to create a school. A lot of it is a virtual school. The program we've come up with is 3 years long and consists of various activities in each quarter of the year. Each year begins with a 5-day program that's residential and brings together all the participants from the United States, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Israel, and Palestine. So this conference, the 5-day we just completed, was the kickoff of the first 3-year cycle of the school. And who created the school were a lot of the people on this call, a group of volunteers, all volunteers, that we generally call school builders. And we did it by forming ourselves into various communities, each community accountable for supplying some aspect of what we needed to create the school. And our axiom for the last 3 years has been that building the school is the school. So the school is not a project that we arrive at one day in the future. It's something that exists right now in our work and our efforts to create it and in how it shows up in the world. So it's been a very exciting journey to get this far. Those of you who aren't as familiar with the whole history can go to, we have a separate website called schoolforleadership.org, schoolforleadership.org. Or I think if you go to the main Mastery Foundation website, there's a link at the bottom of the homepage that will also take you to that website. And it has lots of background and great photographs about the whole process of creating the school.
Okay, that was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, and then in just the months leading up to the opening, I know that the group of people working on admissions were dealing with populating the first group, which we call the first cohort. I'm reminded to say that's an academic term, not a term from the Roman military, but the first cohort of 19 people who will comprise the first cohort to go through the 3 years of the school. Would anyone who is on the admissions group who's on the call now like to share a little bit about what that process was like? I'd like to request we don't name anybody by their any participant by their actual name, but just to describe what it was like to see who was showing up and what it was like to read their applications.
This is Nancy. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I was one of the people on the committee, and The first thing I would say is that the applications came in very effortlessly. The enrollment happened seemingly without any work or any, certainly without any struggle. While we were reviewing the applications, there were a group of us. One of the things that we kept in mind was the requirements that we had set, or the prerequisites, which are that people have participated to some degree with us before or in some transformational programming, and the other, that they are working on projects in their community that fit our guidelines, which is community building and peace and reconciliation. And then what we looked for were people that would be appropriate for the first cohort, because we are clear that they are building the school with us. And our ultimate test was, do they inspire us? If we were moved by them and had fallen in love with them by the time we'd read their application and had a conversation with them, it was a good chance they'd be in. But we also looked to balance the cohort. So balanced among the three regions, which are the United States, Ireland and Northern Ireland, and Israel-Palestine. And then within each region, also balanced. So there's a balance of Arabs and Jews. There's a balance of Protestants and Catholics, like that. So it was an amazing process and very inspiring.
And this is Anne. Let me just add one thing, which is that all the people we were looking at were people who were already familiar with transformation. They'd been through one or more Mastery Foundation programs, and they were already well into work in their community, whether that is a religious community or a grassroots community. So these are people who know the possibility and the power of using the distinctions of our work in what they're up to. So as Nancy said, they were very inspiring, and it wasn't just anybody who could get into this school. The bar was set pretty high.
And I just want to add that there actually was one person who had not ever participated with us, who had gotten so enrolled in what we do that she went out and found a way to meet the prerequisite at the last minute to be able to join us.
Great. And I'll just add, during the week, I happened to be, I think, at a dinner with Mary Stroop, and the two of us live with someone on the admissions, in the admissions group, and we both, you know, it was a very tightly held conversation, so we didn't actually get to see any of the applications. But we both noted that everyone in your group seemed to cry through the process of reading those applications, and we decided that was a pretty good sign of, that they were inspiring human beings.
Yeah, this is Ed. Wanted to say add one little bit to it, because I was one of those people who was crying through the application readings. And I don't cry very easily. But the thing that struck me was the heart and the commitment and the depth of the commitment of all of the applicants. It was very difficult, but all of us on the admissions committee agreed that we needed to align on the people, and could we count on them for the 3-year commitment? And so I just want to underscore, the integrity of the application review and the entrance process was just, it was stellar.
Great. And all of that, and what people, I should also say, what people were applying for and getting enrolled in isn't merely this 5-day program, but 3 years of commitment. So in some ways, you know, something astonishing happened in those enrollment conversations, even if, as Nancy says, they weren't actually difficult to have. We all wound up on Saturday, November 15th, at a place called Dramatine in Northern Ireland to welcome these participants along with a big group of school builders. They're, you know, in addition to a very robust faculty who are going to lead for the first time this particular program that had only been designed in theory. So this was the very first test run of a 5-day transformational program. So we had a big faculty. We had a large group of people playing different assisting roles, but essentially a big school building community along with this first group of participants, the first cohort. And Dramatine is a special place for us in Northern Ireland, and I think it's probably now the headquarters of the school. And as Clinton said at one point in the program when he was building up a church community, he said he got very good at borrowing buildings. And I would say we've borrowed Dramatine in a certain way to be our gathering place from people around the world. It's a midpoint on the planet for us. And I wonder if somebody who was going to Dramatine for the first time could describe for those who've never been there or seen it what the place is like.
Well, this is Clinton. That was my first time there, and I remember airport, getting on this bus and leaving Dublin, because I flew into Dublin, and driving, riding down the road with these beautiful, beautiful rolling hills that you see wherever you've gone in Ireland, if you've been to Ireland before. And if you've not, there are these beautiful green rolling hills as we drove. And then we got to Newry, a place called Newry, and we got trees and more rolling hills. And then we came around this bend, and there was this beautiful lake. And then up on this hill was this building, unlike any building I'd ever seen. It was made of stone, it was and the colors blended in with the other colors around in the natural setting. It's the facility is a modern conference center with lots of artwork, beautiful artwork, and the accommodations are very comfortable. The rooms are comfortable. The food is just excellent. Three wonderful meals every day. Wonderful meals. And the people who serve, it's like they were born to serve or they live to serve. They're just so wonderful. And the kitchen staff, everybody was just so... we had plenty of room to do the work, rooms for the assistants, for the faculty, and then wonderful meeting rooms with all of the technology we needed to run the course. So that was my first impression.
That's great. Thanks, Clinton.
Alan, we should just say that bus ride up to Dramatine was the last Clinton saw of the outside for a week.
I was just going to say maybe Breege could just tell us very briefly who actually runs this retreat center.
You muted?
It's the Society for the African Missions.
There we go.
Father Des Corrigan is the representative of that group of missionaries that founded in France and were very big in Ireland for a long time and still are, of course, but mostly in Cork and Maynooth. And this was a seminary for their junior people for 50, 60 years, and then they moved to places where they had better educational facilities for theology and so on. And Father Des and his people, they just transformed this old house. It was an old house of the landed gentry in the 18th and the 19th century, and he has transformed it into a first-class conference center. And he has done some of our work, and we couldn't have been more welcome in any place in the world. It was inspirational, the way he had set it up for it to work. But one of the great features of the place was that they have collected a lot of wonderful art from Nigeria, which was one of the principal places that these people worked in, and from the Yoruba tribe. And they're noted for being artistic, and certainly some of their art that was displayed in the conference center. On our way, we would go from the dining room for this long corridor to the place where we had the sessions, and we were inspired by this wonderful art, and with a Christian theme in a lot of it, but some of it was purely native Nigerian Yoruba area of Nigeria. And but Father Dez was our friend, and we could count on him for any kind of support that we needed. Does that give a glimpse of what
that's
all
great.
About?
Thank you, Jerry. So
I have got myself unmuted now.
Oh, hi, Reed.
Hi, Alan. I couldn't get my buttons to work. Could I just add that one of the beauties of the place is the fact that Dez has done our program, several of our intensives. So
yeah.
He knows the distinctions. He is aware of our work, and that adds. We are first on his list of the people who come to Dromontaine.
Yes, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe I think the next thing to share, and this does not, I think does not need to go in any particular chronological order, but would be the experiences people had with each other and with the participants, because I think that, for me anyway, the most remarkable part of the week was who people were being, who was there, and our opportunities to interact with them, to see them have breakthroughs, to see them laughing, sharing, like that. And I think, you know, maybe the next place to go in this conversation is just to share about the people. And with any time left at the end, I'll ask some questions about the program itself so that you could share about parts of the program you particularly think you'd like to relate an experience of. But let's let anyone who is there jump in with your experience of the people.
Well, for me, an image that came to mind right from the start, especially with the Olympics just having happened, was like a relay race. And what I mean by that is, an image that I have of the participants were like, you know, in a way that the leaders, meaning the instructors in front of the room were like handing off a baton in terms of the distinctions and the other things, and the participants were already in stride, and it's like they just grabbed it and took off. You didn't have any of the sort of individual, you know, bullshit, for lack of a better phrase, you know, that can be involved in some of this thing. These participants are already, you know, going forward at a pretty good velocity. And it just, you know, for me, it was just one of the more magical conferences or workshops or whatever you want to call it that I've been to. It was just such a great relationship between those in the front of the room and the participants.
Right. Thank you. Other experiences of the people?
This is Mary Stroop. I wasn't in the room a lot when the participants themselves were speaking, but I did have the opportunity to interview a half dozen of the people for a project in part documenting the school and the people. And the stories that they told me about what they were working on in their communities I don't have words to say how inspiring and courageous the people are. I've been, as soon as Alan said we're going to share about the experience, I've been sitting here crying, just bringing them to mind and to heart. And one of the people whom I interviewed said at the end, I asked her, is there anything you'd like to add? And I actually, thank God, do have this on videotape. She said, yes, you know, I am learning from both the instructors and the assistants about holding people as they grow. She said, I feel like I'm being held, and it's really incredibly just empowering. And I, for myself, when I heard her say that, it, for me, was the fulfillment of anything or everything I have wanted for my life and for our participation with the Mastery Foundation. What enrolled me to begin with was the phrase that we serve those who serve, and I got that the students, if you're the participants, are being served and are taking that and really, no kidding, altering the future for all of us.
That's great. Thanks, Mary. Other experiences?
Alan, it's Ann. This isn't so much about, well, it is about the participants. You know, we had a lot of people playing different roles in the school builders team that was there. Just the usual stuff that has to happen in a production, but we also did a lot of videoing and audioing and technical stuff that we don't normally do. And another thing we did that we hadn't done before is we had Jens Brosch as the resident artist, who from time to time would take a principle that was being operative in the room, like relationship is the foundation of accomplishment. And he would, draw, I guess is the right word, create a piece of art that reflected the principle. So this was really interesting for everybody because as you walked in and out of the room, you were walking by these works of art in progress. And then we got to the principle toward the last couple of days. One of the principles was this principle of sharing your gifts. And so Jens sat at his little table on the side, and he drew little drawings of whatever he wanted to draw, and he just laid them out. And when you went by, if there was one that caught your eye, then you could take it as a gift. And I just thought it was such a wonderful expression of what the whole thing was about in a completely different language, and that image sticks with me of seeing people walking around with their little drawing that had caught their eye and that they had taken as a gift.
That's great.
And as one of the people who had, was privileged to have a part in the teaching aspect, it was a privilege to be in front of a group that was just eager and ready for what had to be given, even though the subject that I had, or one of the subjects, the principal said was forgiveness. And in a room full of people like that, that's not an easy theme, even though it's essential. It's not an easy theme for anyone, but this was the most receptive group. They fully participated in it, and I was able to extend myself, and I am not in the greatest physical shape, but I was able to extend myself fully, and the receptivity on their part was, I thought, just about total, and it continued long after the time that I spoke to them. It would come to me afterwards and acknowledge what I was saying and what I had delivered to them. but and also for Jen, no one has ever established for me or created for me a picture of the cluttered mind as much as one of his paintings provided, and it was great for me as I was speaking to be able to refer to it, the way we clutter ourselves, and the only way through is to get a little forgiveness going. So that was, as a teacher, it was a very privileged moment for me.
And if I could ride your coattails on that, what's for me was so remarkable about that level of eagerness and receptivity is this was a group of very accomplished people. This wasn't a group of beginning leaders. This was a group of people who are already at work playing leadership roles in their communities. So they could take the position. They already know what they need to know.
Right.
Right? But they have taken the position that what they're up to is way bigger than they've ever gotten themselves to be before. And they were interested in anything that would allow them more power in fulfilling what they're out to fulfill. And, you know, Mary was talking about the getting to hear, you know, one-on-one what their work is. But just to give a sampling of the kinds of work that, you know, and the kinds of people that were in the room, you know, was everything from a civil rights lawyer from Israel who argues civil rights for the people in the occupied territories to a woman who is a leader in an organization that works on rights for women in Arab society in Israel to a Christian brother who has a ministry in prisons working with prisoners in the state of New York to a woman who's created in Ireland a contemplative outreach center, actually a nun who created a contemplative outreach center to, let's see, people who are active in the African-American Christian ministry and building community in the African-American community in the United States, one of whom is a well-published author and could probably teach courses on leadership. I certainly could. That's a sampling, but it was a remarkable group of human beings. Humbling to actually be present to them all at once. And they put themselves through quite a week. And I'm going to ask people to share a little bit about their experiences of either assisting or leading or being in the program. But the week, let's see, it was billed as a 5-day, but we also had day zero, I should point out, because we couldn't get everything done in 5 days when the design team was done. So it really started the afternoon of day zero, which was a Saturday, and then went all day, Sunday through Thursday. And by all day, it started, there was yoga and contemplative meditation or prayer every morning, I think starting at like 7:45 a.m., and then we finished by 10 p.m. every night. So these were long days with an enormous amount of variety and excitement. I don't think I heard one participant with a complaint that they were too tired or whatever. You know, the usual sort of this is too much conversation didn't exist in the space. And it was extraordinarily demanding because we went very deep in confronting and completing the past of people's leadership so that they can invent a new future for their leadership. We were also laying the foundation for participation in 3 years of the school, which meant building regional communities during the week. It meant having people introduced to the distance technology they'd need to stay in conversation when they're not together. It meant introducing them to the notion of getting their own coach and to meeting who their coach is, to working on their field project, design of it, to getting ready to scheduling a 3-day in their region later in the year. So it was quite a week. So in addition to being profoundly transformational, we were also laying the groundwork for the next 3 years. So this was not merely a standalone program, but really the beginning of 3 years. So with that kind of very broad brush, would anyone who was there like to share their experience of the program or of leading it, of being in the room or of assisting? That would be great.
I would like to come in here, Alan, just to say that when we were reading through the application forms, we definitely, all of us, were touched, moved, and inspired. And that continued right through when we all arrived in Drummondtown and for the 5 days we were there. But it wasn't just the participants that touched, moved, and inspired me. It was the participants, certainly. But as well as that, it was all the school builders, the people who were in the room making possible what was happening. And they were people who, a lot of them were already sponsors of the programs, just there to be in the service of whatever it was that was required. And to me, that was just an amazing experience, which I don't think I could ever forget. And
right.
Just one last word, something a person wrote, who was mentioned earlier, wrote on one of the wikis, on returning from the 5 days, he says, "I stepped into the vastness of my ministry now, and I know that I don't have to carry it all on my own shoulders. There are so many people out there who care."
That's great.
This is Ed. I would like to say I was there in a volunteer capacity and probably spent about a third of my time in the room, but most of my time outside. But for me, it was the rarest of opportunities to really be living in service joyfully and being completely, I really experienced that among all the people who were there, we were all on one team. We were all being the whole school experiencing the benefits of that and the power of it. And each of us, in my experience, was being able to give what unique gifts I had to give at any particular moment, doing any particular job or task or service, and really owning the whole school and really feeling empowered out of it. That and being a school builder, it's the most rewarding and satisfying and fulfilling event that I've really ever experienced with the Mastery Foundation, and maybe anywhere in my life.
This is Nancy. And I would like to add one more thing about the volunteer team. One of the roles I had there was, we never named it, but I'll just call it the production manager. And unlike most mastery programs, there was no one there as an observer or only as a sponsor. So particularly on this sponsor call, I want you all to know that those sponsors who were there became part of the assisting team. And it was an extraordinary transformation to watch. We all found our way in providing what needed to be provided. And, it's not our usual role there. And it was a really beautiful thing to watch. Also, there were some people there who are also sponsors who are always on this assisting team, and they were particularly gracious with their knowledge and experience in helping those of us who were new to producing the event actually pull it off. So it was beautiful.
Great, thanks.
This is Jen. I had a chance the whole time to be in the room and be in back of the room most of the time doing artwork, which I have to say, I thought to myself, boy, this is a lot of time, 5 days, and I have to create something in there. That seemed like a hard thing before I arrived. But there was a listening in the room that made it so easy and so inspiring that, you know, I whatever it was, it really took me over, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was given a great deal of support. So it was a wonderful experience for me to just create in that space. I also had an opportunity to participate in front of the room, which is something that I've thought that maybe I could contribute to for some time, but wasn't sure how to do it or sure that I could do it. And again, participants and the support that allowed me to do that was just stunning. It was a chance to create in the room a conversation with a different media, a media that people I think can be touched by very directly, and I was just very privileged to be able to provide some of that.
This is Dan. I had the best assisting job because I was literally in front of the room every moment that the course was going on. And among lots of different things and among the things that people have already said, for me, the thing that I think is most powerful is I really got to see people creating a future that wasn't going to happen anyway. I mean, like see it and feel it like it was a tangible thing rather than, you know, just sort of something we talk about. And I think that was probably the most powerful thing I took out of the, you know, the week there.
That's great.
Alan, I have a couple things from participants that I could, there aren't any participants on the call, but that I could share that they've sent to us since then in emails. The first one is actually from the boyfriend of a participant, the partner of a participant, who sent an email saying, she has been back for a few days now. Wow. Thank you for the work you are doing in the world and in my world. And then another participant went home and redid their possibility to make it more poetic. So it now reads, I am a bridge builder. I am a conduit for understanding and a channel of forgiveness between peoples. I am an agent of transformation for God in the world. I am a bridge builder. And then another one last one that says, it might sound dramatic, but the 5-day training was the best thing that happened to me recently. I have a strong and deep feeling that something inside me is changing. I feel more open to other ideas, less judgmental, and more confident to keep up the process of building safe places for all. I feel more content with myself. This is the truth.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's, you know, hard to follow the words of the participants. You could see, you know, I would just say you could see on people's faces by the time of the party, and I do want people to share about their experience at the party, of course, because there's always a celebration party at Mastery Foundation programs on the last evening that we're together, and this was no exception. But you could see on people's faces, even at the celebration dinner and the party afterwards, that, I don't know, what gets described as a lightness of being, I guess, and that the work that may be unbelievably daunting, you could be present to it and not overwhelmed by it, you know, and I think that's a space that the participants created for each other and that the program allowed for. So it was... that you could see it, you could tangibly see it by the end, and I think there's happens to be a lot of photographs from the party night, and you can see the light in people's eyes in those photographs. It's really quite remarkable. Does anyone want to share about the meals or the silence or the parties or you know, when Jens was leading, we had participants created actual art, so there was some unusual or less typical aspects to the program as well as the celebrations. Does anyone have an experience of that they'd like to share?
And Alan, maybe also, since we're getting toward the end of the time, people could ask questions who weren't there if they have questions they want to ask before the call ends.
Okay, great.
You know, this is it. This isn't exactly what you asked, but I want to say, particularly for the people on this call who weren't able to be physically present, that I was actually very aware and thoughtful of you, that you guys were present there, that everybody who's been contributing money and time and been on the board and all of you who've been making contributions, it's like you were tangibly there with us. And that was my experience through the course of the week. And I wished you could physically be there, those of you who couldn't, but I want you to know you were there.
This is Rich. I actually have a question about what the school builders learned as something that needed to be provided that you didn't know about before. Like, what was the, in terms of the creating of the future of the school being a school, what did you learn, or are there any new arenas that you got into? It's kind of, and where the question is going is like, what other support might be needed?
Rich, it's Ann. I could say a couple things about it. One thing that I thought was really brilliant in the course itself, which has not been in the foreground of what we have distinguished for people in programs before, was this whole distinction of emergence. It's a way of thinking about what you're doing that is not the typical plan a project and then execute it to meet certain specifications. It's a more organic way of thinking about how things develop and how you can influence the direction and the outcome. And what I saw was what a novel, if not revolutionary, idea that is for the participants and really for all of us, and how it completely shifts how we think about what we do next. And particularly, each participant is developing some practicum, some way of putting to work what they've learned as a way of getting a deeper experience of it. So there was that whole thing. And then the other thing for us is, you know, it's one thing to get up and deliver a program and transfer distinctions to people, ask them to create them for themselves. It's an entirely different thing to do that in a way that they're left with it and can turn around and teach it to other people. It's a whole other level of engaging with things. And I think we all saw a lot of places where there's a big opportunity for us to expand and learn as we go forward. And I would say to the people, anybody on the call, you're welcome to join in being a school builder if there's some aspect of what we're working on that appeals to you. And if that's the case, just send an email and let us know, and we'll set it up for somebody to have a conversation with you about the various things that are wanted and needed, because there are actually a lot of things we have to develop yet that we're only just beginning on, and we're going to need a lot more people to pitch in and do that with us.
Yeah, a good audio editor would be good right now, too. One of our offerings that we've promised but haven't figured out how to actually execute technically is that we have an audio series, quarterly audio series, promised to the participants, which will be 30 to 60 minutes of audio called The Distinctions of Distinctions in Leadership is the name of the series, and we have loads of audio tape of various mastery leaders leading different conversations, but turning that into something that's consumable, I think, is actually a professional task.
Alan, this
yeah.
is Mary. I can help you with that, and I've been thinking about that.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's a good win. I would also add one of the things that was new that we are new for Mastery to provide, not new in the world, but is this notion that each person's getting their own coach. And we have, it was good. You know, our goal was 18 to 21 participants, and we have 19 participants, so that was good. And then we thought maybe 9 coaches, so that each coach could do 2. And I think we have like 15 coaches, so that's great. And Gordon Starr is not on the call this morning. I think he's preparing for a coaching call that's going to happen later today with those 15 coaches. Is stewarding that community, and I was really moved by how, you know, it's, you know, I work in the corporate world a lot where coaches are not a rare commodity, but the sports world they're not rare, but in community leadership it's very rare, it's a luxury, and I was startled. These participants were brought, I mean, people are going to think we cried all week, which is not the case, but these participants were brought to tears with the idea that they got their own coach. It's really astonishing. And the context created for the coaching, which was one of pure partnership and regard, and was very consistent with the rest of the week, really moved people. And they're real anxious to be in that conversation about how they're working in the world to apply the distinctions of transformational leadership in their communities, and to have a coach there to see, to remind them of who they are in the world if they ever forget, I'll put it in the simplest way. And that's a little new for us to figure out how to provide that, because that's, again, another large resource needed. So that was one of the things invented for the school that was new for us.
It's Anne again, and just to emphasize that the other thing that's new for us is it's not just about providing, to take an example, providing the coaching for these people over 3 years. It's about creating a coaching program so that years after we're all gone, this program will exist in some form that can be transferred to other people. So we're not just doing the things we're talking about. We're also struggling to capture them and house them in some kind of way that they have a life and live on and are available to people beyond us. That's a really big challenge.
And I would like to, as one of the original visionaries of this whole thing called the Mastery Foundation, was to see the incredible fulfillment, I would say. Fulfillment is it works for me, this word, fulfillment of our original visions, which were spoken in the 1982-83 period, and to see them fulfilled in such an extraordinary way, to this point, at least anyway, to see them, and for me to be privileged to see them fulfilled in the way they were in Drumontein at this school for leadership. That is extraordinary. And to see that it's set up in such a way, or being set up, that the vision will continue and grow and expand. I was even thinking a couple of times walking up that corridor, the Nigerian art corridor, I was thinking of the need for a healing in that great country, as well as others in Africa, not to speak of other places in the world. So now I can see that our original vision can be applied to the world that we live in, and that's an incredible privilege for me to have lived through to this point.
This is John here. I'm jumping on that excitement in Jerry's voice. I joined this conversation with excitement in my heart, and I continue to feel it. I want to say well done to everybody who took part and got that thing going in Drumontein. And listening to Clinton describe his entry into Drumontein put Mary Breslin in my mind, because that, of course, is part of where she comes from, that area. And it's significant for us in Ireland, certainly, that this exciting venture has begun in Dromontaine, and some for us, I think her spirit is very much part of the whole process. And so I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage all of you to continue, and I will commit you all to my prayers, as I have done this year.
Oh, Jerry and John, those were the two perfect last statements, because our hour is up, and that was this is the perfect spot to complete this conversation. So let me thank everyone for being the listening on the call and for contributing to the call. And we'll let you know when the next big Saturday call happens. So thanks, everyone, and enjoy what's left of your weekends.
Thanks, Alan.
You all.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.